Well, good morning, sunrise. What a blessing it is to be in God's house. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Welcome to the eve of Christmas Eve. Yeah, the eve of Christmas Eve. Welcome to the eve of Christmas Eve. Today we have a special interactive service in store for you that's sure to bring a blessing to your heart. This season of Christmas is one we all love to celebrate as we tell the story of Jesus Christ, and today we're going to talk about him from prophecy to fulfillment and beyond. It's sure to be a blessing. So let's begin our services today by bowing our heads and going to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you and praise you for the way you're going to bring us closer to you through this service today, Lord. God, we come to you today with joy, with thanksgiving, with anticipation as we gather today this morning, Lord. We know you're going to do amazing things, God, and we just praise your holy name for that, Lord. God, we have come here today to hear the timeless story of our Christ Savior's birth, Lord. And in the excitement of this day, Lord, I pray that you would just quiet our hearts, Lord, that we may know the peace and the fullness of this holy time, Lord. Open our minds, Lord, and let us enjoy and wonder and excitement the real reason that we celebrate Christmas today. This we pray in the name of the Child of Bethlehem, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'm so thankful all you faithful followers are here today. We're going to open up with one of these great songs known as O Come All Ye Faithful. So let's sing that together. O Come All Ye Faithful.
Come All Ye Faithful, joyful.
Shared. Where do you start with something like that? I'll tell you where you start by looking at the source, the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
And so today, if you would, open up with me to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. We're going to read the prophecy of the coming Messiah in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. But before we read the prophecy, let me catch you up on just a few things that happened between the time that the prophecy was created and the time that God created the earth. So many of us know that everything that we touch today is part of God's creation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. God created the entire world in how many days?
Six.
6 days. That's right. In 6 days. And on the seventh, he did what?
Rested.
Yes. Sounds like a good plan, right? So created the whole earth, the whole world, everything in 6 days and rested on the seventh. As part of God's creation, He made the light in the sky, the same light that that beautiful star of Bethlehem would show up to lead the wise men to the birth where Jesus Christ would be born. He also made the land that our church stands on. He made the water that we swim in, that we drink in. He made the water that we even fish in. And speaking of fish, God created the fish and all the creatures. He created everything from your cats and dogs that are living at your home, all the way down to the cattle that are roaming the Flint Hills. Praise the Lord. And God believes in something that maybe others don't. The Big Bang Theory. God said it and bang, it happened, right? He spoke all these things into existence. That's how they came about. And then God created man. He created man by taking a pile of dust and scooping it up and breathing through that dust, through the nostrils. He gave life to the first man named Adam. It was a beautiful world. It was a beautiful time. There were so many animals, so much beauty, and there was man. And then God performed the first surgery. Not man, but God performed the first surgery. Adam was lonely. He needed a helpmate. And so Adam laid down. And when Adam laid down and he had a nice rest, God took a rib from Adam and he created a woman, and her name was Eve. What a blessing it was. Now we had everything complete. A beautiful world, man and woman, everything was set perfectly in time. And then God gave him a great place to live. He put him in the Garden of Eden, the best place you could possibly imagine, with all kinds of wonderful fruit, yummy things to eat, great things everywhere in this Garden of Eden. And that's where God had placed them. And he gave them one rule. One rule. He said, you can eat of any of these trees that you want, but don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so the first rule came into existence. And when the first rule came into existence, that's when also the first sin took place. And sin, what that means is that's somebody making a mistake. That's somebody choosing to do something that, well, is not right. That's going against what God's law really is. And God said, you can have any of these things. And there were lots of beautiful trees, Brother Bill. But don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you know what happened? Sin started to enter in. There was a serpent who was there. And you might say he tricked Eve. But I don't know if he really tricked Eve. But he tempted Eve and he said, oh, surely you can eat of this tree and you won't die. And she looked at that fruit and boy, it looked good. And so you know what she did, Sister Alva? She took that fruit and she took a bite of it, didn't she? And the first sin took place. The first transgression against God. Thus meaning that we need a Savior now. We need some way to be forgiven of this sin. And so once she took a bite of it, is that all that happened? No. She gave it to her husband. Now her husband, he knew that he wasn't supposed to eat of that, didn't he? And what did he do? Took a bite of it too. Took a bite of it too. And so sin began to multiply. And so their eyes were open to the Lord. And so God came and they used to have a great relationship where they walked with God and talked with God. But now God came and he knew that something was different. And because the sin has taken place, they had to be kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And the land of perfection was now gone. Now they had to work to be able to provide food for themselves. And so what happened then? Well, Adam and Eve began growing their family. They began growing and growing and growing. But also as they grew, sin grew as well. The mistakes that people made, the wrong things they did, it kept growing and growing and growing and growing. And really it spiraled completely out of control. It got to a point where all the thoughts of mankind were evil. Listen to what it says in Genesis 6:5. It says, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This is the word that the Creator looked upon and he said, I will destroy man who I have created from the face of this earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it grieves me that I even made them. But there was one person that stood out. There was one person that stood out, and his name was Noah. The scripture says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So the Lord was going to destroy the whole world, and start over. But he found grace with Noah and with Noah's family. And so what did he do? The Lord told Noah to build an ark. And so he built an ark. A huge ark, a big boat. Now keep in mind, Noah never even saw a drop of rain before. And he's building an ark in the middle of nowhere. And so he follows the Lord and he continues to build this ark. And then the Lord says, you got to bring all these different animals in there. And so he brings all these animals in there, male and female. And then he and his wife and his sons and their wives get on the ark and close the door. And it rains. And it rains and it rains and it rains. It's almost like living in Seattle. Just never stops raining. And it floods. And so they're safe in this ark. But then what happens is once the rain stops and they hit dry land, they're able to be released. And they see this rainbow that's a promise from God that says, I will never destroy the earth again by a flood. And so Noah and his family got off the boat. And they begin growing their family. Their family tree grew and grew and grew. But guess what else grew as their family tree grew?
Sin.
Sin grew, yeah. Sin started multiplying again, over and over and over and over again. And so there was all this sin. There was all this struggle. And so the need for a Savior was even greater. Now many great Bible heroes, they rose and fell. There was Moses and Aaron and Joshua and Samson. There are so many, I can't even name them all. And years later, the prophet Isaiah, he knew how the Savior was going to be born. And so what he did in Isaiah 7:14, is he addressed the house of David. He went to them, their family and their descendants, and he spoke to them about a virgin who would be conceiving a child and giving birth. And this person was going to be a sign from God that was given. And the name was going to be Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so in Isaiah 9, verses 6 through 7, here's what the prophecy says. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness, his government, and his peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. And so that Savior, that person who was going to save them from all their sins, from all those mistakes that kept growing and growing and growing, just like the families grew, was going to take place, many scholars believe, 700 years later, after that prophecy, that's when Jesus came about. But the question now is, Josh, who would Jesus bring about? Who would Jesus use to be able to choose to bring the Savior to earth? Who would God choose? And so we had to decide, who would God choose to bring a Savior here on earth? And so the announcement was made one beautiful night to a young woman named... Does anybody know?
Mary,
absolutely. Mary had found favor in God's eyes. And she was promised to a man named Joseph. And so Mary was the one who was going to bring this special baby, this promised Savior that was prophesied in Isaiah. And Josh is going to tell us all about that from Luke chapter 1. So Josh, tell us about that.
Okay. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at the words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him his throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no God from God will ever fail. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be fulfilled. Then the angel left her.
So we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, but can you imagine? Mary, this woman, young woman, like Mike was talking about earlier today in service, young woman, just probably a teenager, a little older maybe, but just a young woman getting ready to have birth, giving ready to give birth, to be pregnant with a Savior. Must have been exciting, and what a blessing. But I wonder what was going through her mind as she was thinking about all that. Can you imagine the heavy heart that she must have had? Faith is going to share a little bit about that with us as she sings the song, Be Born in Me.
Everything inside me cries for order. Everything inside me wants to hide. Is this shadow an angel or a warrior? If God is pleased with me, why am I so terrified? Someone tell me I am only dreaming. Somehow help me see with heaven's eyes. And before my head agrees, my heart is on its knees. Holy is He, blessed am I.
Thank you.
I can't even imagine what was going through Mary's heart when she thought about that. What a scary time for her, but an exciting time, you know? Many of you are mothers, and you might know a little bit about what that's like to be able to give birth. But when you think about being pregnant by the Holy Spirit and giving birth to who's going to be the Savior of not just the people you know, but the entire world. Speechless. Just speechless. Then there was her husband. Don't forget about him. Joseph. How was Joseph going to take all this great news? I'm glad Mary's digesting it. She's understanding it. She's agreed. But then Joseph. Joseph's in the picture. Josh, will you tell us what happened with the Joseph situation here?
Sure. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in his mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Although this took place to fulfill what the Lord said to the prophet, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus.
Amen. What a good man. Amen. I think Joseph deserves a round of applause today. Huh? He does. What a good man. That's had a tough situation. I'm not saying Mary's job was easy by any means. My wife has reminded me many a times, you may have done one little thing, but I had to carry this baby for a long time. So I'm not saying her job was easy by any means. But Joseph also, what an amiable man. A man who said, okay, he listened to that angel and he stood behind his wife. And he went through and followed what he was supposed to do. So praise the Lord for him. They were excited. You know, months and months went by. And Mary was even able to go meet up with Elizabeth. And the scripture says that when Mary and Elizabeth came and they got together, the womb, the baby Jesus, jumped inside of Mary's belly with so much excitement. And so I can't imagine how excited the parents were and how nervous also they were at the same time. But then as everything's going beautiful, as everything is wonderful and great, then this person issues a census. And he causes Mary and Joseph and everybody else to go back to their hometown. Now this woman is pregnant. She doesn't need to go anywhere. She doesn't want to travel anywhere. But let me tell you, Caesar Augustus, he doesn't care. You're going to travel back to your hometown for the census. Josh, you want to tell us about that census?
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that Caesar should be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to their hometown to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, I'm sure.
All right. Just want to make sure you're sure about that. Good. So Mary's due to have this baby anytime now, right? They're traveling. They get all the way back to where they have to be in Bethlehem. And what makes Bethlehem so special? Well, we kind of talked about that last week, but I was wondering, would you join me in singing "O Little Town of Bethlehem"? Think about, as we sing this song, how was Bethlehem, the city, preparing to have the Savior born there? What a blessing. What a blessing.
Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The are met in thee. child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel.
Amen, amen. So this birth is going to take place. Mary is going to have this baby. I wonder if Mary understands really everything that's going to take place. I mean, as a mom, do you really know what's going to take place when you give birth to your baby? You don't really know. Do you know all the things your baby's going to accomplish? Isn't that a miracle to think of? You're giving birth to this little human, and this little human is going to go about and do great things for the world, all kinds of great things. I wonder what Mary was pondering in her heart when the scripture said she took all these things in and pondered in her heart, and her heart was heavy. Faith is going to sing the song, Mary, Did You Know?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would someday rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great
see how this birth comes about. Josh, tell us what happens next.
While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in the manger because there was no guest room available for them.
Our Savior was born. Can you believe it? Praise the Lord. He is here.
Amen.
But of all places, he's born in a manger. I was born in a hospital. Who was born in a hospital? Anybody born in a manger? No? We do have some farming people. How do you know? I mean, thought maybe a midwife may bring you born in a manger. Who was born in their home? Was anybody born in their home? Or a car or another random place? Yeah, praise the Lord. All right, some good places there. But to be born in a manger, you know, the places, our King, our Savior, the Savior of the world, born in a little manger. Let's think about that as we sing the song, Away in a Manger.
Away in a manger, no crib for a man. The little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep.
About the one that we love so much would be born in a manger. But it's hard for me to believe that all of us would be sitting down. Our Lord and Savior was born. That's something exciting to be about, right? How can we just sit there? We should stand up and celebrate Jesus' birthday and sing the song, Go Tell It on the Mountain. Let's tell people about this. Praise the Lord.
Go tell it on the mountain. Over I'm night. Behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountains that Jesus Christ is born. Shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth. Ring out the angels' chorus and hailed our Savior's birth. Tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountains that Jesus Christ is born. Now in the lowly manger, the humble Christ was born, and brought us the salvation that blessed Christmas born. Go tell it on the mountains, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountains that Jesus Christ is born. Jesus Christ is born.
Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for helping me share the word and tell everybody about our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How exciting. He's born. We're sharing. We're spreading. I'll bet that was one holy night. Wouldn't you agree? Amen. I'll bet that was one holy night. Let's sing that. Oh, holy night today.
Oh, holy night. The stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices. All night, be mine, oh, night, when Christ was born. Glorious morn.
Savior's born, two loving parents standing beside him. Don't know what they're ready to face. Don't really even know what's to come. They're going to be there for their child. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing. Now I wonder who else knew about this wonderful night? Who else knew about that, you know, Jesus was born? Josh, can you tell us more about that in Luke chapter 2?
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
What a message. What a message. I'll bet that's how the first Noel all began. Would you sing that with me today? The first Noel.
The first Noel, the angels did say, was a certain poor shepherd.
Shepherds, they heard this great news. They were getting ready to head off, go to find this wonderful king that was born. And Josh, tell us how that happened.
When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them.
People were so excited about our Savior's birth. I hope we can have that same excitement today. If you think about all the things that the world went through from the time of creation to the time of the fall of man to the time of the flood to where we are today after the prophecy and finally seeing Jesus born and to him living in our hearts and souls today, you could see why they were so excited that finally all those sins, all those things that they had done wrong in their life were going to be able to be forgiven. There was a path to success, a path to be able to lead them to heaven. So finally, all these people would now have a chance to be delivered from their sins. The world could change, and we could find out just how we could have eternal life through Jesus Christ. What an absolute blessing. I'll tell you, there was a couple other people a few years later that were also excited. They were the wise men. They were so excited that they were going to bring gifts to Jesus. Josh, tell us about those gifts.
When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his Mary, with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they had opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
You know, just like the Magi gave gifts and presented an offering to the Lord, let us give an offering to the Lord today too. Would our ushers please come forward for our morning offering? As we give this offering today, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I want you to listen to this song. Feel free to sing along with it, but it's a great summary of everything we've talked about so far. Let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Brother David, will you bless our offering?
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, such a blessing that you've done for us, Lord. You want so desperately to have a relationship, Lord, that you gave your Son to bridge that gap, Lord, and we thank you for that. Lord, thank you for the many blessings you've given to us and the blessings you gave to this church, Lord. Lord, let us go on today and spread your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Emmanuel has come to earth.
What a blessing. What a blessing. No, from life to where Jesus is and beyond. We've seen it all. We've seen the beginning. We've seen the prophecy. And we've seen the salvation. God's plan is put into progress. He's ready to save us today. And I think that's why it gives us these beautiful words in John 3, 16 through 18 that says this. For God so loved the world. That means you and me. He so loved us that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish. Not perish. But have eternal life. For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but he sent his Son into the world to save the world. Amen?
Amen.
Whoever believes in him isn't condemned, but whoever doesn't believe stands condemned already because they haven't believed in the name of God's one and only Son. Now that you see what God has done for you, well, you see what Jesus has done for you, maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, you know, I never really made a decision to follow Christ in my life. I never really heard the whole Christmas story before and during and after. I'm so thankful, because without Jesus, I would have no hope. There is no Christmas without Christ. And so maybe you're thinking, well, Pastor, how do I know? How could I get saved? How could I go to heaven? How would I know that no matter what, that Jesus, that Savior, that little baby that was born for me? How could I accept that gift? I want that gift. I want to go to heaven. How can I do that? Well, if you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, let me tell you, it's really easy. It really is easy. The first thing you have to do is realize you've made some mistakes in your life. You're not perfect. You have something in your life called sin. It's infectious. It causes problems. And if you don't do something about that sin, it festers you. And it destroys you. And so you got to admit, God, I'm not perfect. I've made some mistakes. And Lord, I need some help. You got to believe that God can forgive you. You got to believe that he really did die for you. The second thing is you just got to ask for forgiveness. You got to say, Lord, I love you. I believe in you. I know you were born of the Virgin Mary. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you were raised from the dead, all that, so that my sins could be forgiven and so I could be in heaven with you someday. Just got to ask God for forgiveness. You got to repent, and what that means is say you're sorry. Don't keep doing the same stuff over and over again. It means go to God and say, Lord, I'm sorry for sin, and I'm sorry for this thing that I've done. God, forgive me. Help me not to do it again. God, I want to be a better person. I want to live like you did, Jesus. I want to love people. And the last thing is you just got to believe in your heart that God is who he says he is. It's not hard. It really is simple. First, you got to realize you made a mistake and you need a Savior. Second, you got to ask for forgiveness, repent. And third, you got to believe that Jesus is who he says he is. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 sum it up like this. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there is no better gift that you could receive for Christmas today. There's no better gift. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, why don't you make this a Christmas that you really experience, where you celebrate Christ, not just the lights and the gifts and the presents and the food and the family, but you celebrate the person who began the holiday we celebrate today, Jesus' birth. You know, as we bring our services to a close this morning, I want to remind you, God calls us to be lights of the world. We're supposed to make a difference in the world for Jesus Christ, amen? We need to go and be lights in the world. We need to be advocates. You know what lights do? They change darkness to a place where you can see. And a lot of people have this sin in their life that's darkness and they can't see anything because it's so dark, and they need you and me to come and share that light that God has blessed us with. In Matthew 5, 14 through 16, God's word says this: "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl, but instead they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." And Jesus says this to us: "In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." As we celebrate Jesus' birthday, and we remember that we're to be lights of the world, I'm going to light Josh a face candle, and they're going to come pew by pew, and they'll light the person's candle that's on the end of the pew, and I want you to reach over and light one another's light, and light this place up to celebrate our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We'll see what a beautiful birthday celebration looks like today. Let's do that now. Lord, as we spread your light today, I pray, God, that you do many wonderful, wonderful things in our lives. God, that we don't just let our light shine for one small service or for a few short minutes, but God, we let our light shine through our entire life. God, this is the light that you've given us, the Star of Bethlehem, Lord, that led the wise men to you. God, we're called to be the light to lead others to you too. So, Lord, I pray that you would speak through us, Lord. I pray, God, that as we light our souls on fire for you, Lord, as we celebrate your birthday, God, that you will help our light shine before one another and we'll make a difference in the world today for you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've done here today. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. As you look at those lights that you have up today, hold them up light. Look at that. Well, I wish you could see what I see. That's a celebration of our Lord and Savior's birth, amen? Amen. What a beautiful thing. I don't know about you, but before I leave today, I want to sing Joy to the World because we have a Savior here today. Let's sing that now as we hold our lights.
Joy to the world.
For letting us be in services today, God. Praise you, Lord, for letting us celebrate your birthday, God. You've done so many amazing things for us. I pray that you just take this one act of worship that we've given you today, God, and that it would be a gift to you, Lord, that our voices would have pleased you, Lord, as we lifted our voices up to you today, God, that our hearts would please you as you look deep in our hearts to see, God, whether we love you or we don't, Lord. God, I pray that everything that we have done today, God, would be a gift that we have given to you for all the gifts that you've given to us. Thank you, Lord, for everything, but thank you most for giving us your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. For it's in the name of Jesus, the child of Bethlehem, that we pray today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.